Here another chance to talk about the Lord and see what He has for us. Let's pray, and then we're going to come out of Esther chapter 4, probably verses 10 through 14. Esther chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Father, Lord, we come to You this morning, God, just grateful for everything that You've done for us. Lord, I know at times we get busy, at times we get frustrated, but Lord, more than anything, I thank You that You're always there to love us and to take care of us. I thank You that Your plans are to bless us and hold us and keep us close to You. I thank You that You are strong, that You are forgiving, that You're a God of mercy and love. So this morning, I pray that You open up our hearts so that the word that comes forth will fall on good ground so that we can, Lord, allow it to show fruit in our lives so that You receive all the glory. You deserve it all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 10 through 14, what I want to talk about this morning is what happens when things don't go as we plan. What happens when God chooses to do something that we're praying about a different way or in a different time or in a different season? What happens when we get disappointed? What happens when we get frustrated? Because I don't know about a lot of you, but I can speak for myself personally. A lot of times, even on Wednesday mornings or Tuesday nights, I don't necessarily feel like doing a Bible study. Sunday mornings, I don't necessarily feel like going to church a lot of times. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm excited. But a lot of times, depending on the day and the situation, I feel like, God, just, I don't want to do this today. Or, God, I don't feel like praising You today. And I may not say it like that, but I may say, oh, I feel tired today, so I don't want to praise. Or, I feel disappointed, so it's just too hard to pray. It's just too hard to praise You. So I don't want to any of us to allow the enemy to get us to a point where we feel condemned or we feel like less than or we feel like we're not good enough just because our feelings are trying to deceive us. You see, brothers and sisters, this morning, I have good news that God is so much greater than your feelings. God is so much greater than my feelings. I truly, truly didn't feel like going to church last Sunday. I truly, truly didn't feel like teaching or preaching a word this morning or even talking about God because I feel so busy right now. I feel overwhelmed with different things. My neck hurts. I've been dealing with some family stuff with my dad. But I thank God that God is God. I thank God that when I feel like not enough or lazy or whatever it may be, that God allows us to push on because there's always victory on the other side of whatever the enemy's trying to throw our way. I don't know if many of you remember last week, but I'd asked people to pray for my dad, and we prayed for my dad. I guess it was Wednesday. So Thursday, Friday happened. He was feeling a lot better. And then Friday night, I was over at my brother's house, and my dad lives close to my brother. And my dad walked down there about 8 o'clock, and he said, "Hey guys, I got to go to the hospital." We're like, "Wait a minute, Dad. We thought you felt better. Dad, you said you were feeling stronger." He said, "Yeah, but the hospital just called and told me to come there immediately." I was like, "Well, can't you go tomorrow? Can't you, this is not convenient. Can't you do it another way?" And they said, "Listen, I asked them that, Alan, but they told me to come there immediately." So at 2:30 Saturday morning, as my brother's sitting with my dad, or 2:15, something like that, Saturday morning, my dad's having tests ran to see if there's blockages and all these things. And I'm talking to God and I'm like, "God, I thought he was doing better." So I felt disappointed. I was a little angry. I was a little frustrated that, "God, things were going so smooth. Things were going so good. Why does it have to happen like this?" And just trying to be 100% honest, I believe a lot of us are in positions right now where we feel like, "God, why does it have to be this way? God, I thought things could be a lot different. I thought if I served you, I thought if I was in a relationship with you, that meant I didn't have certain kinds of problems. God, where's the mountaintop experience?" Well, brothers and sisters, I don't necessarily love the way that God does things sometimes, but I thank God that His ways are better than our ways. I thank God that His thoughts are not our thoughts. I thank God that the scripture tells us this morning that God's plans are so much above ours. So yes, I wanted my dad to be healed because I believe I prayed a prayer of faith Wednesday morning and I believed God. And I was like, God, I know he's healed. And he began to feel so much better and I was so happy. But all of a sudden, I got disappointed. All of a sudden, I got some scary news that my dad had to go to the hospital. And when I thought about that and I began to talk to God about that, he instantly took me to scripture showing me that, listen, things work out the way that he wants them to work out. So I do have good news, praise the Lord, that my dad's home. They said he doesn't have any blockages. He was able to come home early Saturday morning, and I honor God for that. And he's on a path to recovery, but I still felt disappointed. And what I want to do with the Lord is be so close to him that I don't feel that disappointment. Or if I do, that causes me to get closer to him instead of further away. You see, brothers and sisters, so many times in our lives, God takes us to a place and he prepares us for a situation not to be never disappointed, but to overcome. You see, you are overcomers in Jesus Christ. You are blessed. You are the head and not the tail. The enemy's trying to take our power or at least convince us that we're not who God says we are. He tries to do this with so many different tricks. A cell phone, social media, food, different events and activities, work, disappointments. He tries to get our eyes off the prize. So in Esther chapter 4, verse 10, this is a scripture. It preaches really, really well, but I want to kind of look at it from a different angle this morning. Esther chapter 4, verse 10, then Esther, and at this point, Esther has been made queen. She is put in a position that she's got it going on. Any woman nowadays would love to be in this position. This lady's getting facials. She's getting scrubs, massages, beauty baths, whatever you want to call it. She has absolutely got it going on. She's got servants on her right hand, servants on her left hand. She takes baths for days. She has got everything that you could possibly want. And she's living the life, so to speak. She's in a royal position. She has everything that her heart could desire. But then all of a sudden, disappointment comes her way. Then all of a sudden, trials and tribulations comes her way. And Mordecai has to point out something to Queen Esther. So we'll pick up in verse 10. The Bible says, then Esther spoke to Hathach, that's one of her servants, and gave him a command for Mordecai. Verse 11, all of the king's servants and all of the people of the king's provinces know that any man or any woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, to put all to death, except to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. Verse 12, so they told Mordecai Esther's words. So to paraphrase this morning, she's saying, listen, there's one law that the king has. If the king don't call for somebody to come into his inner chamber, if they go in before him, if he doesn't hold out his golden scepter, I hope that's how that's pronounced, then you're put to death. There's no questions. There's absolutely no, you can't plead for your life. You're dead, period. So meaning that if the king don't call for you, don't bother the king. So Esther pled her case before Mordecai because Mordecai wanted her to go talk to the king because a man named Haman was plotting to kill all the Jews. He was trying to commit genocide. He was trying to commit murder to the tens and hundreds, if not millions of people. There was a plot to kill them all. So Mordecai, verse 13, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any of the other Jews. Verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I know many, many times in the past, I've preached on this and I've, you know, for such a time as this. And I've said, listen, you know, this was Queen Esther's opportunity to change the world. This was Queen Esther's opportunity to change a generation, to take advantage of her position in the royal priesthood or the royal citizenship. She was in the royal family, blah, 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 blah. But what if we look at this from a different angle this morning and we look at it like Mordecai was telling Esther, what if you're about to be disappointed? What if you're facing all these trials and tribulation because God knows you can handle it? Brothers and sisters, I want to pose that question to you and me this morning. What if when you're disappointed next time? What if when you're let down by a family member or a boss or a friend or whomever or whatever it may be? What if God knows you can handle it? What if God allowed that to happen because he's preventing something else? What if my dad didn't get healed like I wanted him to get healed because God knew that something could have happened to him at Saturday morning at 2 o'clock, so he chose to have him at the hospital? What if there's answers that we don't know why God does things, but we trust God in spite of? Brothers and sisters, this morning, there is absolutely nothing that God stands in need of. The only thing God asks out of me and you is for our praise, is for our worship, is for our relationship with him. My birthday was, September 10th, week and a half ago. And every year around my birthday or maybe anniversary or whatever, me and Alex talk and she goes, well, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, you know, nothing, or you can get me whatever. And what I began to think about, she says, listen, it's hard to buy for you. And I'm like, why? You know me. She knows my favorite food. She knows what kind of car or music or whatever. She knows so much about me. But when it comes to buying me a gift, she says, you have it all. If you want a little drone to play with, you've already bought it, you know. And she said, it's so hard to buy for you because I feel like you have everything. And I don't have everything. There's a lot of vacuum cleaners I still want. I love vacuum cleaners. There's a lot of drones and those kind of things. But she feels like, listen, I don't know what to get you because you have everything. And brothers and sisters, this morning, what in the world are you going to get for God? What in the world am I going to get or give to God? He has absolutely everything. There's nothing that he stands in need of. Except he desires your praise. Except he desires your worship. Except he desires your commitment to come after him, even if you don't feel like it. Brothers and sisters, one of the greatest compliments I believe you and me can give to God is when we feel disappointed or we feel lazy or we feel not good enough or we feel like somebody's made us mad or frustrated or angry, is to go to him in spite of, this morning I didn't feel like talking about this. This morning I didn't feel like getting on a call with you and praying and talking about the goodness of God. But I put on some praise music. I put on some worship music and I began to press into him and press and press until I got my breakthrough. So for me to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, you were built for a time as this. You were built for this day. You were built for 2022. With the world and all hell going on around you, God chose you for today. God chose you for your family. God trusted you, Brother Kevin. You, Brother Coach Party. He trusted each one of us this morning to believe in him, to be built for him, to rely on him, because you are what people need. You are what's right there waiting for to change somebody's future. You and I are what holds the keys to the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, quit letting the enemy beat our head in. Quit getting overwhelmed. And I'm talking to myself more than anybody else this morning. Stop allowing things to come at you and get your mind off Jesus. Because I promise you one thing, just like Mordecai told Queen Esther, listen, you were prepared for this. And he said, listen, salvation's going to come about another way. Salvation can come about any way God chooses, but God chose you. And the same anointing God put on Queen Esther, I believe, is on each one of us. I prayed for a woman and a man last night in the hospital. This man's 60 years old. He shouldn't be there. Things shouldn't be going the way they're going. But I believe that God's changing that. I believe God's already changed that. But the woman had a faith that I believe that she received what we prayed. Brothers and sisters, in all of our lives, we deal with disappointment. Stop getting on your soapbox. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. I need to stop feeling sorry for myself. God has been so, so good to each one of us, and He wants us to know that we are prepared to handle everything in our path. I don't understand everything when it comes to the kingdom of God. Sometimes I get confused, I get disappointed, but I find and I have found that when I believe God in spite of, when I trust God in spite of my feelings, in spite of my hurt or my pain, I believe that's when God is pleased with us. That's when I find comfort. So at 2 o'clock Saturday morning, yes, I was worried that my dad was in the hospital. Yes, I was wanting it to go a different way, but I thank God that my dad's home. I thank God that I believe my dad's healed. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I know that you're facing trials. I know that you're facing troubles, but I have good news. God has prepared you for a time such as this. The story, just for the sake of time, Queen Esther goes in before the king. She puts her life on the line. She absolutely has everything that any human person could ever want. And she decides to have faith in spite of. She says, listen, if I perish, I perish. But if I live, I live. But I'm going before the king because I got to try to save my people. Brothers and sisters, this morning, our families are waiting on us to go before the king. Our families are waiting for us to pray to God in spite of. Our families are waiting for us to pray to God on their behalf, to believe God on their behalf, because you are that important in the kingdom of God. Queen Esther brought about a revolution. Queen Esther brought about salvation for the Jews, and all of a sudden her uncle Mordecai gets to wear all these royal garments, and she gets to be, queen for the rest of her life. But the greatest decision that I believe Queen Esther ever made is when she put her life on the line. She believed that she had to go before the king, even if she died, because she knew the king had the answer. She knew the king was absolutely the only one that could save her. Brothers and sisters, this morning, our King Jesus is absolutely the only one that can answer your question. He's the only one that can make you feel important, because the things of the world don't have the authority or the power to fulfill you. They don't give you purpose. I promise you, I've been in a line at Wendy's and not been able to buy a Happy Meal or a value size meal, to now I could buy whatever I want pretty much. But the things that I have in the bank or the house I have does not make me happy. I thought it would. I thought drugs would make me happy. I thought women would make me happy. I thought things would make me happy. But God is the only one that can fulfill that thing, that empty place in your heart. We can't live like hell all week and then tell our husband, hey, let's go to church. We can't live like hell all week and then tell our wife, hey, let's go to church. It's time that we live something before our loved ones, because our actions truly, truly do speak louder than words. In closing this morning, brothers and sisters, I was looking on the internet trying to figure out, I keep seeing people allow social media to dictate their lives. I keep seeing people allow social media to hurt their feelings. And I truly believe there's nothing wrong with Facebook or Instagram or the internet or YouTube or whatever it may be. I believe God saves people. I believe God uses it for a lot of good things. I have absolutely no problem with it, but it has to be put in its position. It has to be put in its place. So I'm a numbers person. And I absolutely, I love numbers. I like to play with them, and they're amazing to me because they speak to me. So the average person checks their phone 344 times a day. That's at least one time every 4 minutes. We check our phone for work. We check our phone for friends or family or whatever it may be, for entertainment. For absolutely anything, we check it because it's truly power in our hand. And we believe that if we look up how many cucumbers were sold in America, that we can get that answer. We believe no matter what information or what question we put into this computer in our hands, that it will give us an answer. And most of the time we trust that answer. Most of the time it's probably a pretty good answer. But I want to challenge us this morning. If once every 4 minutes we check our phone, how many times do we check our King? How many times do we talk to Jesus? How many times do we call upon God? Because I know sometimes we've checked our phone and the battery's been dead. I know sometimes we've checked our phone and not been able to get service, but we check it again, we check it again, we check it again, we check it again. We'll sit there and try to hook to Wi-Fi. We'll sit there and try to get service. We'll walk around in a room. We'll get on top of a hill. We'll do everything it takes to be able to get service so that we can receive some information. But I'm telling you this morning by the power of God that you were made as for a time such as this. And you got something on the inside of you a lot more powerful than what you have in your hand. You have the Spirit of the living God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, works in our mortal bodies. And I have good news this morning that yes, you're going to be disappointed. Yes, you're going to feel let down. Yes, you're going to have pain. Yes, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. But if you don't choose to check in with God, like you check in with your phone, then sometimes God will hold back your blessing. Sometimes God will not overcome you. Yes, sometimes He will. But I want to encourage you that every time you check your phone to talk to God, every time you check your phone or look at it or think about it or hold it, talk to God, because what God has for each one of us is a lot more important than what social media has for us. Stop allowing this fake nonsense on social networks and people you'll never see and people you see once every 6 years to dictate or determine how you feel. They do not have that kind of authority. They do not tell you that you're important. God says that He created you. You're important. They don't have the authority to tell you what to do and or what not to do. God has called you blessed and an overcomer. Believe God. This morning, every time that you feel less than or not good enough, I encourage each one of us to say, God, I know You built me for now. I know that this is the time You chose for me to be alive. So that means You trust me to handle this. God, I need Your help. And allow God to perform something like you've never seen. Let's pray. Father God, I honor You. I thank You, God, that just like Queen Esther, that we are made for a time such as this. God, now is our time. Now is our time to shine for You. Now is our time to show Your power on the earth like it is in heaven. Now is our time to believe You in spite of everything else that we see. God, You are our reality. God, You are our reality. You are the truth, God. You are everything that we stand in need of, Lord. And I thank You that You don't condemn us when we feel lazy. You don't condemn us from when we feel disappointed or hurt, God. I know my brothers and sisters that are in this call and that will hear this message have felt disappointment. God, I know we're all dealing with something. I know we all feel too busy or overcome with everybody coming at us from all sides. But this morning, God, I thank You that we can breathe easy. I thank You this morning that we can rest because You've given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I thank You that what You've given us, Lord, is the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. I thank You that You have called us the head and not the tail, blessed above and not beneath. God, I thank You and I prophesy to my brothers and sisters this morning, no matter if it's work that's causing them trouble or family or friends or disappointment, disappointment or worry or pain or sickness, whatever it is, God, I thank You that You're able to overcome that. And I speak to my brothers and sisters. I speak to my dad's body this morning in Jesus' name. And I call them blessed. I call them strong and healed and overcomers and loved by You, God. I call them forgiven. I call them saved, God. I loose angels all around them that will minister to them through the day and through the night. God, we love You this morning, and I thank You that You built us for this time. I thank You that You entrusted us this day. I thank You that Your plans are to continuously show us who You are. And God, we have our ears wide open and our eyes wide looking for You more than we look for a phone, God, more than we look for Wi-Fi or a connection to the outside world, God. We look to You, the author and finisher of our faith. And God, these things I pray are settled on earth as they are already in heaven. And we believe them in Jesus' name. Amen.